Very good. I was going to say, is that water safe to drink? I just got back from Haiti, and that's what we always ask. Is that water safe to drink? I'll start here because you can put the screen down and get ready for the video. It's our pleasure and honor to be with you tonight and have the opportunity to share from God's Word and also what God is doing in our lives at the ministry of Eagle Ranch and there in Haiti. And I want to begin just with a few updates, and then we'll show this video is of Haiti. I think we may have shown this before here, but we got some updates in it. And so we'll be showing that here in just a moment. But it's good to have Pastor Remy Moise from Mamasak, Haiti. And he is the director of that district for the mission, New Covenant Baptist Mission, which is an all-national run mission in Haiti. And so he'll be sharing a testimony along with Tony. Tony DeRoma is a friend of mine from our church, and he's become my partner in crime in Haiti. And so he's going to be sharing his testimony, which is very interesting, which I hope will encourage you. But just a few updates concerning the ranch. Some things have changed with what we do at the ranch. And let me share my heart and my appreciation for your ongoing support and prayers for our mission and what God's called us to do. Thank you for your prayers and support and cards and all the words and messages of encouragement in the homegoing of my wife, Brenda. And she went to be with Jesus on July the 31st. And the best thing I can say is my life will never be the same. And so we work at that a day at a time. And we miss her. And but she is with the Lord, and she don't have to worry about this election or any other stuff that we mess with in this world. And I'm very grateful for that. But God is picking the pieces up from our broken hearts. And I say my family and I and these gentlemen that Moise and Tony loved her very much, and she was very much a part of that ministry in Haiti. And so we just got back from Haiti on Tuesday, which was my first trip back since Brenda passed away. So a lot of first. Everything that's a first just reopens the wound, so to speak. And but God is good. He's awesome. We love Him. We trust Him. Even though we don't know all the whys, and His grace is just absolutely supernatural, so I can say. So we're here in His strength tonight. Bottom line, we're here in His strength. Some things that have changed at Eagle Ranch is everybody has known Eagle Ranch as a residential facility, and what that means is we would take in addicts. And they would come and live with us 3 to 6 months, which that no longer happens. But we still deal with drug and alcohol counseling, family counseling, child counseling. Every day, I work with people who are terminally ill, believe it or not, and basically help them to die. Help them to know Jesus Christ and not just a religion. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He's not a religion. I hope you understand that. And so we appreciate your prayers. You know, we're reaching more people than we ever have. In the last several years, we've seen more people saved through our ministry than we have in the rest of the years put together. And God has done that just in the ministry of Haiti itself. Since we've started there in 2013 of Northwest Haiti, literally hundreds and hundreds of people have come to Christ in that region. And that is due to Pastor Moise and his men and his pastors just doing a fantastic job with the help that we've been able to give them there in that region of Haiti. Back at the table, there is a little map, and if you look all the way to the top of that map of Haiti, you'll see a little sign called Mamasak. And right at the very top, next to the coast, is where our orphanage is. When we started there, it's a long story, so I'm going to make it short. But God led me to Haiti in 2007. I wasn't planning on going, but through one of our students and his expertise in black land, I got to go along with a team to Haiti to build a school. In 2010, the earthquake happened in Haiti. 300,000 people were killed in Port-au-Prince and other regions around that area. Our team went back. I wasn't going to go again. But at the last minute, I decided to go. I can't break up the team. Many other people from our church went, and that's where I met Pastor Sticker Oliston, who's the director and founder of the New Covenant Baptist Mission in Haiti. Him and I hit it off in 2010. We were there in March. I went back in July to speak at a pastor's conference, and our senior pastor at our church went with me, and every year since, we've been going to that conference. The second year of that conference, well, each year we would meet the pastors that would come from Northwest Haiti. At that time, there were about four churches in Northwest Haiti. These pastors and some of their church leaders would come, and Moise was one of those church leaders that just really impressed Pastor Murray and myself. We would basically come back from Haiti with just the clothes on our backs, just to help these preachers, because they were borrowing suits just to come to the conference. And even if it's 100 degrees, they dress to the hilt. And folks, they don't have air conditioning in their churches. And they would dress right to the max, you know. And so we'd give this stuff to Moise, and he just handed it out. He never kept anything for himself. And so we asked him the second year, what can we do for you? He said, I'd like to go to seminary and be a preacher. The third year, he became the director of the Northwest District. Along with that, he brought these three sisters, these orphans, who basically stole my heart. And we fell in love with each other. And I found out more information, as Pastor Moise would explain to me. I said, where do they live? They live in the orphanage. And I said, what's the orphanage? He said, well, it used to be a building, but Hurricane Sandy blew it down. And they were just scattered around the mountain in huts and church members' houses. And he said, where do they sleep? He said, they sleep in the dirt. And I looked at my pastor, and he said, this is going to cost me money, isn't it? So I went back. It's 2013. I went back in September again to see. And that's what this video is. The video is from 2013. Shows a progression. Shows some of the roads. My trip to there. Visiting some of the churches in Northwest. And the progression of the orphanage and the medical clinic and some of the things that we have there today to help Pastor Moise and the other pastors. Now we have, at that time there were 70 kids in the orphanage. We have 157 in the orphanage. And we have 10 churches in that district. So we help in planning of those churches, working with them churches. Seven of those churches were wiped out through this most recent hurricane. And so we're rebuilding that structure of the ministry by giving them basically a pavilion, just putting a roof over them to start with. And each of those pavilions, so to speak, cost $4,000. This morning, the church we were in, three people came up to me and said, I'll build one of them churches. So if you're interested in building a church, just let me know. You can do it through your church or whatever. But these people went from having nothing to less than nothing from the hurricane. Also, back at the table, we sponsor our children. These are our children. These are people, the kids we hold on to, love, take care of. And so we want to give our churches and our people an opportunity to sponsor these kids. You can be personally involved with their lives through writing and birthdays and all that good stuff. And we try to make it as personal as possible because these kids, they don't ask for anything. They just want to be loved. And so what I'd like to do is let's go ahead and play the video. People have asked, why don't you learn the language? So I'm still trying to learn how to speak English. And I appreciate Tony taking this on. And I know enough to talk to my girls on the phone. And we pretty much have the same conversation over. But boy, I just love hearing their voice. And I miss them. I miss them tonight. I'm going to share a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I was going to try to do something different tonight, but this is what I preached on this morning. But my heart kept coming back to this passage. As I shared in my testimony, a lot of things have changed in my life and how I view things, how I see things, even looking and searching through the Scriptures and seeing what I see there. When I work with Haiti or I work with addicts, it took me a little bit to get back into the groups. I gotta be honest with you, it ticked me off to sit in them group meetings with drug addicts and alcoholics. Because I thought, what a waste. And the brevity of life, the passage was mentioned tonight. And but that's one of the things that God brought me through. But there's some things I'm not going to go through. You know, you just don't go through this like you're coming out the other end. You just learn to live life over again. You learn to live life new. I explained that to the guys in our meetings that struggle with drug addiction, alcohol. And you know, all of us are kind of in that same place sometimes. There's something that we lose, something that we give up. And when we give that thing up, something that was so intricately a part of our lives, whether it's an addiction or some habit, maybe even anger, we give up something within our lives, and it leaves a void. And then we try to search and try to fill that void. That void is a God emptiness. And you can't fill a God emptiness with anything of this world except with God and His purpose for our life. You know, this church time, we come to church Sunday, Baptist, you know, a lot of denomination. You know, they go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, whatever. And it becomes a religion. It becomes a ritual. Okay? We have our church covenant, right? Becomes a ritual. We have our Bible. And we end up worshiping. We worship things. We worship the created rather than the creator. Even we in the evangelical church do that. But we very easily point the finger at other denominations or religions and accuse them of doing that. But we do it too. We have this thing called the Great American Dream. Believe it or not, even the Christian worships the Great American Dream. We base our elections on it, or choice of election, in an election. Now, in this election, we don't have a whole lot to vote for. Be honest with you. I'm not real excited about either. but there's one that I'm really not excited about. So this is more of an election to keep one out. And it's an important election because, you know, based on this election could determine whether a preacher goes to prison or not. That's the bottom line. I could really care less about anything else that has to do with the great American dream, because the great American dream is not biblical. You won't find it in the Bible. But we think it's so right. But I can tell you the Constitution of the United States was based on biblical principles and a Judeo-Christian ethic that we should defend. And when we have people in our nation that are not willing to defend that, they think it's outdated. Guess what? They thought the Bible was outdated many years ago. So I'm not going to trust them. I don't even listen to the media. If you get depressed, just stop watching the news and you won't be depressed anymore. Whether it's Fox or CNN, it don't matter to me. They're both full of it. And because they don't, you know, when's anybody going to get up there and say, hey, I really don't know what I'm doing, but I'm willing to turn to God. But you won't hear that, because that's not the American way. And so as I look at these things through the light of what God has allowed me and has chosen me to experience these last few months, those things are all relative. But one thing that is absolutely for sure is heaven. Heaven is that much more real to me. The desire for heaven is that much more real to me. And everything I do in my life, I want it to count for the cause of Christ and God's purpose. Because what else is there? You can base it on your life on stuff, having stuff, retirement. Thank God, Pastor retired from his earthly job. But he's full steam ahead on his heavenly job. Amen. And that, of course, that retirement's out of this world. But you really can't put a number on that one. God has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And it's more than what we live for on this life. Some of us here in this room, you might consider yourself having a lot. Some may consider what we call the middle class, and some may consider, well, I'm neither of those. Moise and many of the people in Haiti that I know that are dear to me are far richer than any American would ever become, even though they don't have much to show. Because when they pray, they pray. When they believe, they believe. When they have a need, God will take care of it. Because you know what, folks? That's all they have. They don't have their insurance. When the church building blows down, they don't have an insurance company. Well, they have Pastor Terry and me, I guess, now, but... But we teach them. We're not their answer. Okay, and guess what? Our stock market and our retirement's not our answer either, folks. Health plans, whatever. Although I thank God for those blessings. I thank God for roads. I thank God for road signs that tell me where I'm going and how far I got to go yet. You don't have any of that in Haiti. I thank God that when it rains, my kids can still go to school. Theirs don't, because of rain. It's too dangerous. But that's where they live. That's the difference. And folks, you wouldn't understand that unless you really went. My daughter went with us this last trip, and and she's still numb. She's still sending me texts. She called me tonight asking me questions. I mean, it's constantly on her heart, and her life is, her life will never be the same because she made a trip to Haiti. She saw it. She met the people. She hugged the kids. And she'll never be the same. Brenda went, and she was abnormal before that, and then she was really abnormal, and never the same. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" In other words, every one of us is unique, and God made us that way. Hello? Not all Baptists are the same. Not all Christians are the same. That's why not all denominations are the same. Because everybody couldn't be a Baptist. Hello? We're all different. God made us different. So when we ridicule or we're negative about the difference of somebody else, we're literally being negative towards God. How in the world do you expect an unsaved world to think and to act like you as a Christian? But that's what we expect. And we become critical of them rather than to pray for them and to love them. And we stand out there with picket signs, which doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because you're not going to change anybody's politics with a picket sign. That's not what God wanted us to stand on. He wanted us to stand on the purpose that the difference that He gave to us, the calling that He gave to us, to love and to reach out to people that are in a lost and dying world, but we get stuck in the great American dream. And we get distracted because we might lose that piece of the great American dream that we have, and we want to hang on to it. We literally get angry over it. We get angry at politicians and people. And folks, these are people that are unsaved. And they need a witness. They need a witness. And if we don't witness to them, who's going to witness to them? So He's made us all different, but what hast thou that thou didn't receive? Everything I have, everything I am, has been given to me. I'm not a self-made man. There's not a person on the planet who's a self-made person. Everything we have, everything we are, we have received. Every perfect gift and good gift comes from the Father of lights. In other words, it comes from our Heavenly Father. God has given us who we are. God has given you what you look like. God has given you your family. God has given you your talents and your abilities. And He says, not only be content with what He's given us, according to Hebrews 13, but He says, to use that ability and that talent and all that God has given to you for the purpose of God. That's our goal for Haiti. I can't change. My goal going into Haiti is not to give them the great American dream, as much as they would love to have that. You understand that? That's not what they need. They don't need insurance. They don't need retirements. Okay, they need to take the abilities and the talents that God has given to them and use them for the glory of God and watch that country prosper. Billions and billions of dollars have gone into that country, and folks, they don't even have roads to drive on yet. It's mind-boggling to me. And we're talking from Port-au-Prince to Mamasak, 160 miles, and they can't even build roads. in something that's probably not as big as the state of Maryland. Drives me nuts. You know why? Because of greed. Greed of governments, including the United States of America, where the funds never get to them. And if it did get to Haiti, the people who needed it wouldn't get it. The infrastructure wouldn't be built. Now, why am I saying all that? I'm not being political here tonight. I'm being real. Amen. This is where we live. This is the world we live in. And folks, God has given each and every one of us. Tony, his testimony is just awesome. A businessman. Travel around. What in the world am I going to do in Haiti? And he trusted God with a trip. And God touched his life. And he has learned the language in an amazing way. And he still does his business. And he travels. As we go to Haiti. And he helps us do our ministry and to communicate with these people, just like John. When John first started going with us, it changed our ministry in Haiti. With the communication we were able to make with them, teaching them and encouraging them in the Word of God, taking those things that God has given to them and saying, "Thank you, God, because this is enough. This is enough to change our country." And so our target is to teach the children. And the kids are excited about it. Our medical clinic is run by, we gave it to Pastor Moise and his wife. His wife ran the clinic. She's an RN. And I told Pastor Olson, director of that mission, this clinic is not going to be a part of this mission. It's going to be a business owned by the people. And the people need to contribute to it. They don't need a welfare system. They need to contribute to this clinic. Okay? America doesn't need to send tens of thousands of boxes of clothes over there because that hurts their economy. For those that have a clothing business. We can't send boats and boats of rice over there, like our country did, because it hurts their economy. It's mainly an agricultural country. And their mainstay of agriculture is rice. So we're not helping them, other than in an emergency type situation where they may need some help to get food to the needy. See, God has given us a concept that he's given us, every one of us, the abilities and the talents and the wherewithal to learn, to study, and to take what he has given to us and to use it for his honor and glory, and it's always enough, and he will prosper it. Our own welfare system is a demise of this country. Not just because people are taken or taking advantage, but because they're not learning the purpose of God for their life. And they're not living out the purpose of God for their life. I work with 4 or 5 generations of individuals that are on the welfare system. And it's a totally different mindset that has to be taught from a biblical standpoint, that these men and these ladies take God at his word and take responsibility for their lives. And the responsibility that God has given to them to live their lives for his glory. What do you have that you haven't received? If we have received everything that we have and the blessings of God upon our life, then why do we live our lives as if we acquired it ourselves? We become so prideful and self-sufficient and arrogant in the blessings of God. Here's an example. Some families Some parents never have a problem with their kids. And then you have other parents who have just nothing but a struggle with their kids. The parents that never have a problem, they're like, man, I really did it right. And the parents that have struggled with their kids, they're thinking, what in the world did I do wrong? When all the while, God just wants us to humble ourselves to Him and say thank you for both situations. Say thank you. Because God, what do you want me to learn through these blessings? God, what do you want me to learn through these struggles? I can't begin to tell you the emotion and the thinking and all the process that I've gone through since my wife went to heaven. The anger. Anger that I haven't experienced in decades. Frustration. The desire to even do ministry. So many emotions, so many whatever. But we are here tonight not based on how we feel or who we are, what we have or don't have. We are here tonight because of a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. Because no matter how I feel, no matter the struggle I'm in, He is still true. He is still God. He is still faithful. He is still good, even though I don't feel good. And I've learned to say thank you, even when I was angry. Lord, my life is yours. Teach me what you want to teach me. And day after day, nothing would change. It would still be there. The heartache is still there, folks. The brokenness, it's still there, but God, and His supernatural grace picks up the pieces. Of a broken life. He puts it together. He puts it together the way He wants. Because He is faithful. Why do we glory? Why do we glory in things that have only been given to us? And these things have been given to us. You are in America. You are a blessed people. And that blessing has become our curse because we don't use the blessing for His glory. We use it for our selfishness. So as my wife and I, we go to Haiti. Let me go back a few years. I can remember sitting in our church in Elkton one evening, and a gentleman came, sat down beside me. It was one of the men from the prison, from the Elkton prison, sat down beside me. And I was so glad to see him. And I asked him, I said, Bobby, where are you going to stay tonight? He said, well, I just got out. I have no place to go yet. And I said, okay. So I'm sitting there thinking, how can I help Bob? And surely I couldn't bring him into my home, my wife, my two little girls. They don't even know him, you know. I mean, who's going to take an inmate into their home? And so I'm praying, Lord, help me to help Bob. It wasn't 5 minutes. Brenda leaned over to me. And she said, Brian, if Bobby don't have a place to go tonight, he's welcome in our home. So I knew she had the same heart. We never were people that would say, God bless you, we're going to pray for you. When I went to Haiti and I learned about these kids sleeping on the dirt, it wasn't about, didn't even cross my mind to say, God bless you, we'll pray for you. What crossed my mind is, I got to go and see. And Brenda didn't understand that. She was like, why are you going back to Haiti? You were just there. I said, God wants me to. I got to see. She said, okay. And even when she didn't understand, she would pray for me and support me because she trusted God. It wasn't about trusting her husband. She trusted God. And of course, there's a track record there that God came through. Right? God came through. What has God given you that you need to surrender to Him? What part of your life, your attitude, your personality, your possession, your talents, your time? How about time? People come to me, marriage counseling, struggling, and I give them these three things. I said, number one, tomorrow you start. And you do something tomorrow that includes learning about God. That's my greatest purpose of being on this planet, is to know God. You know that. Our pastor says it all the time. I get sick of hearing it. But it's so true. Every day you do something that is going to cause you to know God better. Every day. At least one thing that's going to cause you to know God better. Secondly, do something every day that's going to do something that's going to be giving of your life to your family, to your wife, to your children, to your husband. Every day you're going to ask God, give me something that I can do that will be a blessing. That's a blessing to them every day. Thirdly, God, give me something today that I can help and be a blessing to somebody else. Normally it's somebody you don't like. It's somebody that ticks you off. It's somebody you don't get along with. Aren't you glad God's not that way? Because there might not be any of us in His club or His clique. Right? We're all biased. We're all biased. We all have our biases, right? So you do something that gets you to know God a little bit better every day. Does something for your family every day. Does something for somebody else every day. I guarantee it will change your life. It'll change your life. And guess what? God will open up so many doors for you to be a blessing to a person. That's what my wife did. That was her life. She wasn't about being right. She wouldn't argue with me to be right. Or to get her point across. That's what we do. We want to be right. Church fights are always that way. I'm right. I'm going to straighten him out. God never called you to do that. God has given us so many wonderful blessings in this country. And what are we doing with it? Because one day you two and myself will die. We will die. We will die, people. Unless He comes. Some preachers get real smart. Oh, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. The thing is, though, we're going to die. And the moment you die, all your stuff that you worked for is going to belong to somebody else.
Right.
And it's not going to amount to a hill of beans.
Man.
In heaven. I appreciate my children. See, my wife left something for them. And you know what my kid's response was? Dad, you need this. I said, no, I don't. We want you to have this. Now it's your responsibility. That's a gift from God to you. Now it's your responsibility to handle it. God has given every one of us gifts. And it's our responsibility to handle it in a way that's pleasing to Him, glorifying to Him. What are you going to do with what God blessed you with? I close with this. In Haiti, they don't have passing the offering plate. But they have some kind of thing sitting there on the front table. And I was amazed the first time I saw an offering in Haiti. You understand these people don't have nothing, and now they have less than nothing. But they would line up. They're lined up to bring their offering to the front. And I asked the pastor one time, where in the world do they get money to put in the offering? He said they trust God. Well, it don't make sense to me. I trust God, but I'm supporting churches, you know. Pastor trusts God, but he gets an offering a couple times a week, right? You say you trust God, but you got a paycheck. And there they come, because they trust God. Understand what I'm saying? They trust God. Father, thank you for tonight. I thank you for this church, for what it means to us, how it's been a blessing to us for many years. Thank you for the pastor and his heart, and the people here. I thank you for all that you've given us. Help us, Father, to lay all that you've given us, talents, time, abilities, whatever. Help us to lay it at the altar. Lay it at your feet and worship you with it. Glorify you with it. And reach out and be a blessing to those around us. I pray for somebody here tonight who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that you would touch that life. Help them to come to you and to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.